Hello and welcome to the Opening Bell podcast. I'm John Dennan, not Matt Christie, who is currently, I don't know, sunning himself in Dallas, but I am joined...
Arlington.
I am joined by Nick Bond, the veteran boxing news designer and all-round expert, who can comment with wisdom... on the big issues of the day.
Thanks for having me, John.
Did you watch Brooke Golovkin?
Yes, yeah.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was far better than expected. I think Kell Brook surprised a lot of people, I think even us, but in hindsight, he is a good fighter and it shouldn't have been that much of a surprise, but we've been used to seeing Golovkin bowl people over. People who aren't as good as Brook, although they're bigger. So it was nice to see Kell Brook fight back.
Yeah, I mean, before the fight, I gave Brook literally no chance. I say I didn't see how he could win. But in the fight itself, he was competitive. He put up a good show, but I still feel like there was always going to be one winner in that fight.
Yeah, but Brook was kind of defiant. I mean, I thought he would do better than some expected, but I didn't think he would do that as well as he did do. You know, people may say, yeah, he got stopped in the fifth, you know, that isn't that good. But he was defiant and he stuck it on Golovkin and he hit Golovkin with some good solid shots and that was, it was good to see because we all, you know, we're so used to seeing Golovkin walk through people. I mean, Brook made Golovkin take a step back. You know, he hit him three or four punches at a time and Golovkin, you know, he didn't like it, he kept acknowledging it and he had a grin on his face, but I think that was out of embarrassment.
And afterwards Golovkin was very much saying that, oh, he didn't hurt me, he's too small, all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
I wonder if he was kind of, I mean, obviously I didn't mention this to him at the time, but I wonder if he was protesting a bit too much or maybe he was just embarrassed at being caught so much.
Yeah, I mean, it was a slightly disappointing to hear him say that because, you know, Kell Brook is a world-class, world-champion boxer, and to dismiss it as just a sparring session was a little bit not too good, but, he says what he feels, doesn't he?
Yeah. But, I mean, do you think Kell Brook made him look human?
He did, yeah. Brook was far and away, maybe not far and away, but I think clearly the best boxer that Golovkin has faced so far. Just so happened to be that he was two weight divisions smaller, although he was heavier than him on the night, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But, you know, Brook is a welterweight. He was a welterweight. He had been making welterweight. Golovkin couldn't make welterweight. So there was clearly a size thing. Golovkin was used to being hit by middleweights and knocking out middleweights, where Kell Brook clearly wasn't.
But to be fair to Brook, he took... early on in the fight, in the first round, he took a massive left hook. I thought it was going to be game over there and then. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, they didn't really feel each other out, did they? They went at it, and Golovkin promised to do that, didn't he? And Kell surprised a lot of people. Yeah, we thought it could have ended, didn't we, in the first?
Yeah.
Brook looked to stumble and hold on.
Yeah, he was hurt, wasn't he?
He got caught, but... you know, left of the body and a left of the chin, wasn't it? But he came back strongly in that round. And
yeah, especially he had a good round in the second, Brook.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think I only would have given Brook the second round.
Well, for some, they had it two rounds each.
Yeah.
At the time of the stoppage, you know, that wasn't, you know, that inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, but I just thought, you know, even though Brook was landing a lot of shots, so was Golovkin, and he was also landing the hurtful ones,
the clean, eye-catching shots were Brook, weren't they? Those uppercuts, you know, they were wicked,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah.
And they definitely got Golovkin's attention, contrary to what he says. They certainly got his attention.
Yeah, but it was the damaging blows were all
from Golovkin. The naturally bigger guy, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Golovkin knew he was the naturally... well, do you think because Golovkin was the naturally bigger guy, he didn't sort of... he just tried to walk through him and didn't actually worry about boxing or using skills and got a little bit caught out or a little bit embarrassed, but
I think had Brook been a natural middleweight, Golovkin would probably have been a bit more respectful of Brook's power and not stood there and caught as many shots in his face as he did. That there is some element to that, but Golovkin's game is all pressure, isn't it? And yeah, educated pressure, and he'll walk his man down and look to get him on the ropes and unload shots, and that's what he did, and that's what brought an end to the fight.
Uh-huh. And at the end of the fight, obviously it was Brook's trainer Dominic Ingall who pulled him out in the arena at the time. That decision was booed.
Yeah.
I guess that's just because in the heat of the moment it was an exciting fight and everyone wanted it to carry on.
Yeah.
And also from the outside you couldn't have known how badly Brook was hurt.
Yeah. From up in the forest away seats, you kind of wouldn't have seen, because Brook was still on his feet. He was never off his feet. He was still defiant. Although he wasn't throwing punches back, he was still, you know, he knew where he was, although he was under a lot of pressure, taking a lot of stick. You know, it was a good call from Brook's corner. It was Brook didn't need to take any more punishment.
Yeah, and especially as when we now know that his eye socket was broken, then surely
looked to have happened early on, didn't it?
Yeah,
second round onwards or something.
Yeah, because he was dabbing at his eye, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so his trainers, saved him serious damage. Yeah. Even a broken eye socket's bad enough, but more of those punches hitting it.
I think Dominic Ingall picked the right time to end the fight, because although Brook was on his feet, he wasn't firing back. He was in survival mode, wasn't he? And Golovkin was coming on and coming on and coming on. And it would have only got worse for him.
Yeah. And Brook was sort of beckoning Golovkin in at the time. I don't know if that was just defiance. Yeah, or
defiance, grit, that's the fighter in him, isn't it? But what's interesting about this fight is that Golovkin last time, pre this, fought Dominic Wade, who I think most would agree was substandard opposition.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We even called for Golovkin to fight somebody better, and it may or may not be a fault of Team Golovkin, but he didn't really get criticised that much for this fight, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Canelo's been crucified, hasn't he, for fighting Khan, and Golovkin's found an opponent two weight divisions below. Yeah. And not a lot's been said about that.
Yeah, and this was almost harder for Brook, because he had to go all the way up to 160 pounds for...
Khan was 155, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, you're right, mate. You're right.
It's worth mentioning, mate.
So do you think this has shown that, Golovkin isn't invincible, and then we are actually going to see him in a major fight against a middleweight?
Yeah, nobody's invincible, are they? I mean, it goes back to the fact that Brook is the best boxer that Golovkin's fought, and was able to catch Golovkin with three or four shots at a time. Golovkin looked to have very little head movement, didn't he? He wasn't hard for Brook to find. So someone like Andre Ward, that would be a tough fight for Golovkin, his style,
Yeah. What about James DeGale for Golovkin?
Again, DeGale throws punches in bunches, doesn't he? From all angles, whips in uppercuts, southpaw. That's not an easy fight for Golovkin. That's a tough fight to call.
A fight I'd like to see, because it would unify all four middleweight titles, is Billy Joe Saunders versus Golovkin.
Yeah,
and he's a southpaw, and he's a good boxer and a good mover.
And throws a lot of punches, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't pick against Golovkin in that, though, would you?
Yeah, but do you think Billy Joe could give Golovkin not just an argument, but like a better argument than Kell Brook, and maybe his Golovkin's trickiest fight to date?
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, Golovkin is running out of people to fight at the weight. Canelo sees his immediate future at light middleweight. Miguel Cotto will not be campaigning as a middleweight, will he? It just leaves rival champions Billy Joe and Danny Jacobs. Danny Jacobs could be a decent fight as well.
Yeah.
He's a really talented guy.
Yeah, and Jacobs has the WBA secondary regular belt, yeah, Golovkin's super
like pro version.
Yeah, yeah, but at least the WBA are calling for that fight to be made.
I think
they're mandating it, aren't they?
Billy Joe may be the slightly sterner test than Danny Jacobs, but you know,
he's pretty good. Jacobs, like, his skills are good, and he seems like he's hitting quite hard.
But he's been laid out, hasn't he? And that's not a good sign when you go in against a big puncher. So that's what makes me say that.
Yeah,
Billy Joe's tough. Billy Joe's a tough guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And also, it seems to me that Billy Joe, if he takes one shot, he's quite good at avoiding the follow up attacks as well.
He can be a good boxer, can't he, when he wants to be, and a southpaw.
And he sort of knows the trick, so if he does get caught, he can hold and mess someone around as well as box and move, I think. The situation as we seem to know it right now is that Billy Joe hasn't boxed since he won the title in December.
Andy Lee, yeah.
So he is fighting on the Vladimir Klitschko Tyson Fury undercard in Manchester on October 29.
He's got no opponent though, is he?
No, there are two guys in the frame who are in the WBO. One is in the top 10, a Russian whose name is...
Not Bursak.
It's like, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I think he's a WBO number 7.
Okay.
And then there's an American called Rob Brands, who's a WBO number 11. They're in the frame for his first title defence on the October 29, and Billy Joe says, like, he hasn't boxed so long, he needs a tune up.
Yeah,
he's the plan for him from his team for him then to fight in February of 2017. So that, I guess that would make sense for a big unification. Golovkin's team planned for him to fight in December. So it's a bit of a shame the two timetables don't match up.
No.
I do understand Billy Joe saying he needs a tune-up because he has been out for a long time.
Yeah,
so what we could see is Billy Joe fighting at the end of October, you know, hopefully Golovkin fighting Danny Jacobs, which is a fight you can't really knock on paper.
What, we're talking later this year?
In December is when... Golovkin's promoter said he wanted him to fight in November or December. I think both.
That's a natural for Madison Square Garden, isn't it?
Yeah. And then maybe February for the unification, which is a bit of a shame. I'd like to see Golovkin fight Billy Joe, you know.
Yeah.
ASAP.
We all would, but.
And Billy Joe said he's up for fighting wherever, whenever, in a field, whatever.
But Danny Jacobs and Billy Joe as Golovkin's next two fights, you can't argue with that.
Yes, you can't, but Canelo is the big ginger elephant in the room.
Yeah, but you know, we don't see that fight happening within the next two fights of Golovkin's for sure, and certainly not within the next 6 months. They talk about making that next year, don't they?
Yeah.
Next September.
It's the fight in the sport, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky to have Andre Ward Kovalev already made November this year. But outside of that, yeah, there's not many better fights. Well, fascinating fights, because in the wake of Golovkin Brook, where we've seen Golovkin caught, you know, his head rocked back, had to take a step back. You know, what happens when there's a bigger guy doing that?
Yeah, and Canelo's got real power.
Oh, goodness,
and he throws blazing combinations.
Yeah, and whips in uppercuts. He's aggressive. It's a great fight.
So you're saying that Canelo can beat Golovkin?
He can, but will he? I wouldn't pick him to beat Golovkin, but, you know.
But he's the most likely person at middleweight who could.
Oh, and he would give him a hell of a fight, yeah. I don't see it. Oh, yeah, it would be a really good fight.
But Canelo's immediate attentions are on Liam Smith
tomorrow,
this weekend,
tomorrow.
WBO super welterweight champion. That's been heavily criticised in America because I guess Liam Smith isn't known over there, even though he is a legitimate world champion. I think it's going to be quite an exciting fight. How do you see it as a spectacle?
I think. Team Canelo have chosen Liam Smith because they see his style meshing well with Canelo's. It looks to be a great atmosphere out there in Texas. Liam Smith will come to fight. My worry for Liam Smith is his style. I don't think it holds up well to Canelo. Liam Smith applies pressure. He tucks up well, doesn't he? Keeps his chin down, keeps his elbows in, and comes forward, basically. And I don't see that working against Canelo, to be frank. If Canelo can hit you, there's a probability that he'll win. As you said, he's got a hell of a punch. Just see the James Kirkland and Amir Khan fights. He's aggressive. He's got good variation. He's strong as a ball, wide as a door. Liam Smith's best chance for me, he appears to be good 2 inches taller. If he can use his height and box Canelo, he's got a better chance.
Right. But he does like going inside, doesn't he, Liam? And he's a good body puncher. Yeah, he's a stern hitter himself.
He pivots well at the waist, and he's got good upper body movement, and he throws uppercuts as well. Almost similar to Canelo, but he's taller. You know, physique, you know, a bit of Diego Corrales about him. And he's got a good straight right hand. He's got, you know, you can't make any criticisms about Liam Smith, but Canelo appears to be a level above, because we haven't seen Liam Smith in with anybody of that calibre. You know, Canelo's boxed anyone and everyone already at 25, 26 years of age, so we're right in picking Canelo because we haven't seen anything from Liam Smith yet, but he could surprise us.
Yeah. I think it's unfair to have written him off, because he is a world champion, and it's not just that Canelo's team have picked what they might think is an easy fight, but it's also, you know, fair enough fight.
I think it'll be an easy fight. I just think their styles will gel, sort of be, like you said, an entertaining fight, and Liam Smith will come to fight, won't he? And it'll be a good spectacle. But I don't see him beating Canelo by meeting Canelo head on. I think, as we've seen, Canelo struggles more with movers, with slicksters, people who give him angles and, you know, throw unexpected shots. If you meet Canelo head on, I just don't see him winning.
But, you know, you never know. Boxing, Canelo might have taken him lightly. He might have thought he'd be a simple, straightforward job.
Yeah, but you look at Canelo, and although he's relatively young, he's very experienced, and he's got a good team around him. And he's just come off beating Miguel Cotto. Do you know what I mean? He's beaten some, you know, modern greats. So it's hard to make a case for Liam Smith. How do you see it? How do you see Liam Smith winning?
I suppose I wouldn't pick Liam to win. It's more I was making the case. I think he'll give it a good show, and it'll be an exciting fight. I suppose, and the case for him winning would depend on Canelo having taken him lightly, Canelo not being as fit as he might otherwise have been.
I think Canelo's always very fit, but the one thing we haven't spoke about is the weight.
Yeah. Good, very good point.
Take this point up, John.
Come on.
Tell us about the weight issues.
Well, Canelo hasn't made super welterweight. He hasn't been under that limit since he boxed Mayweather in, 2013?
And pointed out by our good colleague Paul Wheeler was that he was...
Expert fight predictor,
he was Paul Wheeler. Canelo was supposed to fight Alfredo Angulo at 154, but they didn't make the weight, did they?
No. So what I'm saying now is that Liam Smith could grind down...
Because
Canelo, a weight drained Canelo, surviving the early storm, taking him into the later rounds, using his fitness and beating him at his own game.
Yeah, Liam Smith's always fit. It'd be interesting to see the weigh-in, which is tonight.
Could be interesting to see how they look.
Canelo looks amazing, you know, as a physical specimen already. We've seen him yesterday and the day before. You know, he looks a hell of a... a fighter.
Well, and he's very big when he's in the ring. That's not always a good sign, because maybe that's something he has to sort of deplete himself too much to make the limit.
Yeah.
But it means he could just be too big and too strong.
His team say his future's at light middleweight, but I think going by what we're saying, that's only his immediate future. Assuming he gets by Williams, he may not fight at light middle again. He could go up to in between weight, what he's been doing, you know, 155, 156.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look to square off with Golovkin or Triple G next year.
Yeah, and Canelo's been very criticised for not fighting Golovkin. You know, he's given it sort of the talk because he wants to do it, but then he stayed at 155 and now moved down to 154. But maybe his team are also sort of playing
it's a long game, isn't it?
Yeah, that maybe they're playing a long game, and that also they're thinking that, you know, they're at a weight where they're near to the Golovkin fight. Also, they're at a weight where if Mayweather came out of retirement, they could do that like middleweight. Then maybe they feel that if they're around 154, 155, they have the most options. And also, it is clever because Golovkin, you know,
he's not getting any younger, is he?
Yeah, exactly. Golovkin's not getting any younger. Canelo is.
Arguably getting better.
I think he's probably getting better all the time.
Yeah.
So it is clever. It's just not what the fans want. You know, the boxing public want Golovkin to fight Canelo as soon as possible.
It's rare that we get what we want when we want it. You know, Mayweather Pacquiao took getting on for a decade for that fight to happen. There's a million and one fights that never did happen. Let's just hope this isn't one of them.
Yeah, and even talk of Mayweather coming out of retirement is a bit of a sideshow, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm prepared to let go of that. I don't know about you, but the longer it goes on, the less chance it is of him coming back. I think he knows that. The longer he leaves it, I'll be surprised. You know, he's a very smart guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, Pacquiao's talking about him now still, isn't he? Saying that he'd like to fight him again.
Yeah, and then even if he did come out of retirement, would he be coming out to fight a major serious fight like Canelo? Would it be, you know, his last fight was against Andre Berto? It might, you know, coming out of retirement, he might not fight the most competitive opponent in the world.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it, but the other way of looking at it is that he would only come out for a big fight. It's not like his skin, is it?
No, it's going to take him a while to spend all his money. All right. Well, you've said it like you see it. Canelo's going to win this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pick against him, but you know, I'd like Liam Smith to shock the world.
Yeah, and if Cal Brook can be competitive with Golovkin, surely Liam Smith can be competitive.
Liam Smith can be competitive, and there is absolutely no disgrace if he isn't successful against Canelo, because Canelo is one of the best fighters of recent years.
Yeah.
Liam Smith can go on to be in big fights again and probably recapture this title once Canelo's finished with it.
But. Yeah, it's definitely the fight Liam Smith needs, because the reason the American press hadn't heard of him is because he hadn't been in
the marquee.
He hadn't been in with a big name. Now he's getting that. If he acquits himself well, then there will be more big fights for him in the future.
And there's some good fights at that weight.
Even Cal Brook for a world title. That would be a great fight. Yeah, because they're both sort of Brooks sort of, you know, as long as he recovers all right, I think he's emerged from that Golovkin fight with a lot of credit.
Definitely.
So he's sort of launched himself into a new level of stardom. A similar thing could happen to Liam Smith.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Brook earlier, that he's always done, there's always been a lot of interest around him anyway, pre-Golovkin. Now, that there's a lot of interest around him, and he's said his future's at light middleweight. So he's just another good name in the mix.
Brook could fight Canelo next. Not next, but down the line.
Yeah.
Like, apparently HBO mentioned that.
Did they? I'd be surprised to see that happen, but we're constantly surprised, aren't we?
Do you not think that would be a sort of, you know, super fight?
Yeah. I think Brook would need to get a win against another half decent guy before that fight is made, but we'll see.
Yeah, but maybe because Brook Golovkin turned out to be so big, Cal Brook's only going to be interested in, you know, proper like major fights and major names.
Yeah.
We'll see,
mate.
Anyway, there's a lot more to be said, but if you want to read more, don't miss this week's issue of Boxing News Magazine. which is all the reaction, ringside reports from the Golovkin-Brooks show, reports worldwide, a big preview of Canelo Smith, exclusive interviews with Liam Smith, Joe Gallagher, and much, much more. And if you want even more than that, visit www.boxingnewsonline.net, where Matt Christie is out in Arlington covering the big fight. But that's the opening bell for this week, and thanks very much for listening.
Thank you.